Welcome to Forest City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. We hope that you find today's message encouraging on your journey of figuring out what it looks like to follow Jesus in the 21st century.
Today we have Carmen, Maddie, and Io who are going to be speaking. And we're just so excited. Father God, we thank you for Forest City. God, we just thank you that the light that shines so bright here is just made up of many stories, many souls, many just pathways to find themselves here at Forest City. And today we thank you, Lord, for the three people in just their own personal experience of who you are, God, and that in their three diverse experiences of just learning and growing in faith and putting their trust in you, that we today are coming together as a community to celebrate one God. And so we're so thankful that we get to hear just these three different facets of just how you are showing up and working in their lives. Lord, would you calm any nerves, calm any anxiety, and may this just be a moment of celebration for our church as we just get to celebrate and reflect with people as they share moments from their year. May we come alongside together with them. So we love you, Lord. Bless Carmen, bless Maddie, bless Io as they share today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Carmen, come on down.
Church, would you welcome?
Give her a round of applause.
Hello. Wow. God is really good. All right. Good morning. My name is Carmen, for those who I have not met. I've been coming to Forest City for about a year and a half, and I currently serve on the Alpha team. I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Jordan, Pastor Amy, and Pastor Joel for allowing me to share my story. A little backstory before we jump into it. I did not grow up in a Christian family. If I had to choose, I would say my family was Buddhist, and that was mainly during Chinese New Year. Like many people, I found God during my darkest season, when I had hit rock bottom. Nearly 2 years ago, I received the life-altering news: you have cancer. In that moment, my whole life collapsed. Everything that I had placed value in was stripped away from me. My job, my voice, my vanity, and my physical strength. After surgery, I could barely speak as a result of a paralyzed vocal cord, and I could barely lift my arm due to the extensive nerve damage around my neck. However, after years of physiotherapy, speech therapy, and of course, through the grace of God, I am now about 95% back to normal. Praise God. My surgeon had explained to me that he had to leave some residual tissue on the nerve that controls my voice and allow radioactive iodine to treat it. Removing it completely would have meant a tracheotomy for the rest of my life, as the nerve was embedded in the tumor. At the time, I accepted the possibility that I might live with a small amount of cancer in my body for the rest of my life. We will come back to this later. During this season, God humbled me so deeply. As I continued to learn about his character through Alpha, reading the Bible, and participating in small group, I began to hear him say, "Just trust me. Trust me that I have a plan for you. It's going to be hard, but you're going to spend this season depending on me and me only. Your value is not in worldly things. Your value is in me, and I will give you a life more beautiful than you could ever imagine." Looking back now, I can see that this health diagnosis was a blessing in disguise. It revealed what was truly more important to me. What have I learned about God during this time? So much, but ultimately this: he can be trusted in both the mountains and the valleys. He knows what is best, and his plan is greater than ours. In the valleys, I cling to God's promises the most. And in the valleys, he does the deepest transformation. Saying yes to God and going all in is saying, God, I trust you. You know what you're doing, and I trust that you have my best interests at heart. I used to wonder why God didn't heal me faster, and why I had to face so many obstacles, 2 surgeries and 2 rounds of radiation in less than 2 years. Maybe I wasn't ready. Maybe God was refining my faith. Maybe he was using me for a greater purpose. But no matter what battle I was fighting, I knew God was fighting it for me. 2 weeks ago, after my most recent round of radiation in November, I talked with my oncologist. Here were the results. There is no residual thyroid tissue from last year. There is no active cancer. There is no metastasis to my lungs or bones, and my cancer blood markers are the lowest they have been in 2 years. Praise God. Although some things in my reports and my imaging don't fully make sense, I believe God healed me and removed the residual tissue left on my nerve from my first surgery. We will continue to pray and believe that my markers will eventually reach zero so I can finally be cancer-free. It's been almost 2 years on this journey, and I can finally take a breath. 2 years of learning about God's character, leaning into his word and presence, and most importantly, learning to trust him when it made no sense. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We have faced other trials in the past 2 years, and God has come through time and time again. God allows believers to experience hardship so our faith can grow and our trust in him can deepen. He may close a door at work because he sees you at a different company. He may close a door on a home purchase because that was not the right home for you. He may use a health diagnosis to slow you down because that lifestyle was no longer serving you. That painful breakup, God sees you with someone better. For those of you in a season of waiting, much like Advent, we're waiting to receive, waiting to rest, waiting for clarity, and waiting for answers to our prayers. I want to remind you, God is never early. However, his timing is always perfect. If he wants to make it happen, he will make it happen. For any of you here exploring Christianity or wondering if God is real and trustworthy, I encourage you to talk to him. Just talk to you like you would a friend. Prayer works. Ask him to reveal himself to you, and he will, in ways you cannot deny. You may be thinking, "Carmen, this sounds great, but you have no idea what I'm going through. Maybe you lost a home. Maybe there's been death, trauma, abuse, addiction, visa issues, the list goes on." You're right. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. He sees you, he hears you, and he answers prayers. Sometimes not in the way that we expect. Ultimately, having faith is trusting God when life is hard. Your circumstances do not define you. Your broken marriage does not define you. Your childhood does not define you. A life-altering health diagnosis does not define you. We have hope in a Savior who walks with us, and with him, all healing is possible. When you find yourself in seasons of doubt or deep valleys, know that you can trust God. He will walk with you through the fire. His comfort and strength will carry you through, so one day you can help someone else through their own fire. Let your hardship be a testimony of God's faithfulness. Embrace this season, because God is going to use you. God is working behind the scenes. He is weaving every piece together into a very beautiful tapestry. He is the author of your story, and he decides when the pages turn, and he's still writing. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in trials, and faithful in prayer." I want to close with this. Never stop praying. There is power in prayer. There is power in the name of Jesus. We serve a God who not only loves us, but hears us and sees us. He can heal disease, break chains of addiction, and restore families. Nothing is beyond him, because with God, all things are possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen. That was really beautiful. So hi, everyone. My name is Maddie, for those of you that I haven't met before. I've been going to Forest City for about a year as well. If I haven't met you before, feel free to come say hi. I feel like I'm still meeting new people, so I'm always happy to have a chat and get to know everyone's names. So when Jordan asked me to share and think about the question, what has God taught me this year? I really had to sit and reflect on my past year, 2025. It's been kind of an interesting year for me, a lot of changes and different things to adjust to. And this year, truthfully, my entire life has been a constant process of learning, unlearning, and relearning who I believe God to be, and in turn, what that demands of me as a follower of him. Many times in my life, I've had to surrender the idea of God that I've created in my mind for an image that aligns more biblically to who God actually is. Hopefully it's heading in the right direction. It's definitely not a linear process, and there are many things about God that I get wrong. As I learn to be a better interpreter of the word and reconcile my own experience of what it means to be human, I hope that my image of God will continue to be clearer and align more closely with truth. However, as I mentioned, this process of discovering truth is definitely not simple. It's actually really complicated and nuanced and frustrating and confusing at times. There's so much that I don't understand, and I have a lot of questions about God and faith and the world and humanity. I'm someone who really likes to understand things. I was that annoying student in all of my math and science classes that couldn't just plug numbers into a formula. I need to have this formula come to be, who created it? Why should I trust them? My teachers probably were so frustrated with me. this same instinct shows up in my faith. I don't want to just believe or practice something because it makes me feel good or it gives my life meaning. I need to know if and why it's true and why I should trust it. To be honest, this need for understanding has made faith really difficult for me at times. It hasn't always been something that's come super easily or naturally to me. Though I make a constant daily choice to trust and follow God regardless of whatever arguments or doubts are stuck in my head, sometimes I get jealous of people that just feel like they have such an easy faith and it just comes so naturally to them. And I wonder if faith will always be something that I'll have to wrestle through. Last year, I decided to take a few months off to study the Bible. I wanted to find some answers and to know God in a more confident way. And it was such a great experience. I was in this tiny town in the Midlands of England, so I literally had nothing to do except read the Bible. I read the entire Bible in 3 months and studied a few books inductively. And I learned so much. I had so many of my questions were answered, but I left with 1,000 more questions. There was one time when I had a lecturer, and as he was speaking, he noticed that I was writing a lot in my notebook and in my Bible, and he saw that I had all these annotations, so he probably thought I had some really profound insight or something, so he's gonna come see what I wrote, and literally in the margins of my Bible were just all these question marks and pointing to different words. He just laughed at me and walked away. I wanted so badly to come home after that experience and just have everything figured out and everything neatly sorted in my head. But I still couldn't shake my persistent questions. What if I'm misinterpreting something? What if God's character is more like this than this? What if I'm misinterpreting God's voice when he speaks to me? What if I'm just being brainwashed and I don't actually have the ability to think rationally? As you can see, it's easy for me to spiral in these circumstances. As I struggle through these things, I'm reminded of the story in the Bible of Job. If you would also like to be someone that has questions about the Bible, you should read Job. It starts off with this like heavenly court situation. And there's like these sons of God and Satan, and they like present themselves to God. And interestingly, this is actually the first time in the Bible where Satan appears by name. But that's a rabbit hole for a different day. So Job is introduced as this blameless and upright man who fears the Lord, which are the same descriptors used to describe Abraham and Noah. Job is also incredibly wealthy. He has a large family, lots of food, many animals, which was a big indicator of wealth. Satan challenges Job's faith, suggesting that Job only worships God because his life is so good. He's so blessed. It's easy to worship God if you have like an awesome family and you're healthy and you have a million cows. What else do you need in life? So God allows Satan to test Job, and Job loses everything. He loses his wealth, his family, his health, and not because of some sin, but there's no explanation. The majority of the rest of the book is a dialogue between Job and his friends as they reconcile why Job has to endure so much hardship. Why do bad things happen to good people? A question that I'm sure many of us in the room have struggled with at some point. And Job's friends present some compelling theories. Well, maybe he had some sin he was unaware of, so he's being punished for this sin, and he's not as blameless and upright as he thinks he is. Or maybe God is allowing these difficult things to happen to him to protect him from some future sin. It's actually the grace of God that he's enduring these things. So for 37 chapters in the book, we have these like different arguments and counter-arguments of why God is allowing this to happen to Job. And then finally, chapter 38, God speaks. And so after 37 chapters, like, okay, now God speaks, we get the answers, we're going to see like who's right, like why did this happen? And this is what God says in chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone?" And this continues for a while. So it feels like the book is like leading up to this moment where we're finally going to get like the answer from the ultimate source. But God doesn't actually ever answer Job's question. But he answers Job's problem by asserting that he is sovereign. God is God and Job is not. There is a lot that is revealed about God on earth, but a lot is still hidden and mysterious. And in some strange way, this is actually where our clarity comes from. I previously mentioned that I can sometimes find it frustrating when faith doesn't come easily to me. But I also think it's a bit of a gift. It makes my faith really exciting and truth something that I can pursue infinitely without ever getting bored or reaching some like finished point where I have God all figured out. My struggle to understand God gives me a small glimpse into how vast and wonderful and beyond comprehension he truly is. In some ways, my uncertainty is the best evidence I have that God is God. My worst seasons of faith aren't actually the ones where I'm wrestling with hard questions. They're the ones where I stop asking them altogether, or perhaps exclude God from the process. Throughout the book of Job, Job grieves, laments, and questions God, but still at the end of the book, God still calls him blameless. God doesn't denounce God in his confusion, but he brings God into the struggle. And we see the same theme throughout the Bible. In Habakkuk, for example, Habakkuk is bringing his questions about injustice to God, and God responds not with explanations, but with a reminder of his sovereignty. And the book ends not with certainty, but with worship. So I want to leave you with three main takeaways of things that I've learned this year. The first being, although God can't be fully understood, we can still know him. The endeavor to understand God is never wasted, even though we will never reach that point where we have God figured out, at least here on earth. So get curious about him and ask your questions and bring God into the struggle and let him speak into your areas of confusion. He may not answer the question in the way that you want, but he may still answer the problem. And number two, know that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom, not knowledge. Understanding itself can become an idol. Sometimes the answer is simply just that God is sovereign and we need to worship him. And if that point feels a little contradictory to what I just said about wanting to know God, same. I'm still learning the balance between investigating God and accepting his sovereign mystery. And lastly, number three, God is who he is regardless of how we understand him. Even though our perspective of him may change as we have different experiences and get older, but God himself doesn't actually change. God is not confined by our limited understanding. He is majestic and powerful and so much better than we could ever understand him to be. So what God has taught me this year is that faith doesn't mean having all the answers. It means learning how to trust him when wrestling through the hard questions.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Jordan, Pastor Amy, and Pastor John, for this opportunity. Yeah. Thank you, Carmen and Mandy, for sharing beautiful stories. I pray the Lord that has started this good work will perfect it in Jesus' name. Yes, so for me, most people usually start a new year with high expectations. Maybe because of the transition experience, especially when it's been a long year with disappointments and some dashed hopes here and there. This time last year, I was looking forward to 2025 with lots of expectations, especially relating to securing a job here in Canada. The year started with high hope, and I could bet that all of that was going to happen this year. I was so certain, not only in my faith, but that of my amazing small group. Big shout out to Jen and Chris. If you are not in any home group, I will encourage you that after today's service, don't leave here without signing up to join a home group. There's a Connect Dex at the back. They've been really like a rock solid support for me and my family. So the year started and everything was going smoothly until the end of February. There was a fire outbreak in the apartment we lived. And we had to vacate the apartment for like 2 weeks. And you know the insurance policy here, they would not pay you unless you incur those expenses. So we're made to look for funds to pay for a temporary accommodation while repair works were going on in our apartment. After the first quarter, I kept hope alive, believing God for this job. Second quarter passed, I could only count 2 interviews. My heart sank. And then I thought about the people I and the rest of our group prayed over, and there are fruits, lots of testimonies. My wife always sends me different job posts from my LinkedIn to WhatsApp to email. Just apply. You know, doubts began to creep in because after so many applications, nothing was coming forth. By mid-year, I had moved from hopeful to excited to disappointment to angry and frustrated. I didn't understand, and every time I prayed, I sensed that God has answered. As a result-oriented person, I couldn't reconcile my conviction of answered prayer with no evidence or manifestation to show for it. Gradually, the scripture in Hebrew chapter 11 that says, faith is the hope of things unseen, became clear. I needed to hope, even in the waiting. On the other hand, my business back home in Nigeria was growing with lots of other challenges because I'm not there. With staff not pulling their weight and ensuring quality in service delivery. My friend is also here, whom I always call every time I want to rant. He will just, I will call him and tell him, just listen, I just want to rant. I will talk for hour or more. And at the end of the day, he will just tell me, Ayo, don't worry, all will be well. You know, thank you for always obliging me that opportunity. So we began to map out strategy to solidify the business back home. We discussed and eventually we came up with a strategy to hire a business manager. And from there, we began to see growth. New clients began to come in, existing ones growing, and relationship being solidified. And yes, we began to see the impact in the business finances. Then I still feel within my spirit a nudge from the Holy Spirit to shift my focus from what is not working, that is my lack of job here, to what was working, which is business back home. I encountered God's goodness this year when I focused on what He is doing instead of what He is not doing. I yielded gradually, and the more I focused on my business, the more I was grateful for. I was able to even visit the country last month, something I couldn't afford to do earlier in the year, and things are on a growth trajectory. My wife was able to resign from her job August this year. Looking back at all of this, I am reminded of heroes of faith, even as mentioned in the book of Hebrews, how they hoped against hope. It made no sense, but the Lord has taught me that our focus inhabits our faith. Abraham didn't focus on his age, nor his aging body, and that helped him believe God, leading to beholding the promise. The Israelites waited so long for the promised land and deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Most stories have happy ending, and yes, mine is not an exception. I have no doubt God is working it out for my good. I hope you find encouragement in my story, even as I pray that the Lord shift your focus from what is not working right now in your life to what is working. I pray the Lord works all things out in your own good. As the year comes to an end, that more than ever before, the will of the Lord will prevail in your life. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in more resources, messages, or signing up for our current events, you can find everything on our website at forestcitychurch.ca.